Yeah, start. Okay, so the Rush, when we turn to Rav Ram and Ahar, but the Rush in Kedusha and Perak Aleph, Simem Ted, discusses the famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, which you learned that women make brachot on mitzvah seishas mangram if they do the mitzvah. And this is, we know, a major machlok rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and many rishonim, really many of major rishonim hold like Rabbeinu Tam. On the other hand, you have the Rambam and the Ravid, who hold that note. And this machloket goes, really runs through rishonim, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, to this day. And the Rush really delineates in a very clear and concise way the two key issues and has some very, very interesting things to say about it. Okay? I'd like to take a look. The Rush is kind of going to be our home base. Everything else is, in a sense, commentary on the Rush. Let's take a look at what the Rush says. We're just going to look at a tiny bit of it. I'm not going to read straight even. I'm going to skip. But let's read a few key lines. Rabbeinu Tam haya omer, d'nashim yicholot l'varech al kol mitzvot aseh shesman grama, di'af agav d'ptire, v'afilu mitrabanan lo mechaiveh. Right? Even though there is no chiyuv at all, even mitrabanan, it's actually a shita that's not so, but that's, it's only not the simple pshat by any means. But in any case, is that that there's no chiyuv at all, even mitrabanan. Nonetheless, Rabbeinu Tam says that women should make a birchon hamitzvah if they do the mitzvah. Says the Rosh, ve'ein ka mishum lo tisa et shem. Don't ask, in effect he's saying, don't ask. Number one, as the first challenge to this shita, is the issue of brach levatala. Lefish mevracha bracha shena tzricha. Dahach drasha, the drasha that lo tisa implies an iser of making a bracha shena tzricha, asmachta ba'almahi. That's only an asmachta. Okay, point number one. That's the first question and the first answer. Hilkach kevan shemekavim lebracha ain't kam mishum lotisa. Mishum batisa. Number two.
What's
just an asmachta? The drasha that's aser to make a bracha shena tzricha because of lotisa.
But I don't understand how that answers the question. It's just
asmachta. Good question, right? That's a very powerful kasha. What is the Rush talking about? Oh, that's okay. It's only needs to draw banan. So what? So it's only needs to draw banan. You know, what kind of an answer is that? Okay, so it's not a daraita. Good, we've taken care of the daraita. Now we're about to draw banan. And if it's only needs to draw banan, so what? So how does that help us? 1,000%. So we have to understand that line, the Rush, right? Lo pasha, 1,000%. To say that it's an asmachta does not really answer the question in itself. Okay, but say it's on the drop on. Good. How's that help? And there's a very, very important methodological point here, which we'll get to Bezra Hashem in the next little bit. Okay, let's continue. B'teimahu, heich tomer b'tzivanu, there's a second issue, b'milta de lo mechaiva. Lo midaraita, lo midarabana. Gam yere de suma, afgad de pat midaraita, mechaiva midarabana. So, he says that the last point is neutralizing the raya of Rabbeinu Tam from the Gemara and Kedushin in terms of Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef says that that originally he thought that it would be a great thing if he would find out that the halacha is that a summa is pater for mitzvah. Why? Because then he was voluntarily doing all these mitzvah, because he's doing the mitzvah anyhow, get more sar for it. And then he found out gadol mitzvah v'yosef mishen mitzvah v'yosef, so he said, I made a mistake, better that I should be chayav. So Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean? If a person who's not chayav doesn't say birchon mitzvah, so why would he be so excited to be pater? He'd be losing out on all the brachot. In any case, the Rosh says maybe you can't compare Summa, because by Summa maybe there is a Chiyuv to Rabbanan. Now this is an amazing thing, the Tshuva of the Dor Revi'i that discusses this. It's not a simple matter, this line in the Rosh either. It's not our topic right now, but think about this for a moment. This is an incredible thing. What is the Rush suggesting? We understand why Rabbi Natan didn't say it, but there's a Tosfos about comment. Very interesting thing. Suggestion that we find in a number of Rishonim that maybe even if a Suma is part for Mitzvah Midaraita, but it's Chayav Midrabanan. But one second, if a Suma is part for Mitzvah, wouldn't that include the Chayav to follow Drabanan? How does he become Chayav Midrabanan? What does it mean? He's Chayav in Mitzvah Drabanan, but not Chayav Mitzvah Daraita. And you know what I'm saying? And it was like,
No.
If he's globally pater from all mitzvot, so what is machayev him to follow the rabbanans?
Ah.
Right?
Well, what does that have to do with like, women?
Yeah.
You're not
chayev
in any of them. So
women are
chayev
in most mitzvot.
No, but not.
We're suggesting the following, saying that maybe you can't, even if a Suma, according to the Shita, that a Suma is Pater from Mitzvah, right? Mm-hmm. So he's saying, but that's only Min HaTorah, but Midrabanan, maybe he's still Chayev. And since he's Chayev Midrabanan, that's why he can say a Bracha of Vitzivana. It sounds Gemara and Shas and Chav Gemo, right? That you can make a, if you have a Chiyuv Drabanan, you make a Bracha, like Rehechan Tzivan, the famous Gemara by Ner Chanukah and all that, right? So the Rosh is saying, as opposed to women who don't have a chiyuv at all, even midrabanan in this particular mitzvah. But there's an underlying question here, which is, if a suma is pater from mitzvah in general, how does he get to be chayav in on a drabanan level, right? Because where's his chiyuv to follow drabanans? Correct. That's a basic question. So I'm going to leave that on the side for the moment. It's an interesting question. It's an important question, but I'm not going to deal with it right now. It's not our issue. But it is something that just want to call to your attention. Virtually every line in this Rosh is not simple. Yes?
Oh, wait. So for the Suma, so what was the solution? That they may be
higher than Zerubbabel? Right. And that's why they can make
Birchot HaMitzvah. Okay,
but that's not going to work for women.
And which Rebbe thought that would be better if...
Rav Yosef in the Gemara Kedushin.
That would work for women?
Right. No, exactly. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam's main raya is from this story about Rav Yosef, who was blind. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Rosh is just saying that, parenthetically, that maybe there's no comparison between a Suma and a woman. A Suma globally and a woman in terms of mitzvah and grama, because maybe the Suma is chayav at least midrabanan and the woman's not chayav at all, so you can't bring a raya from one.
Why is he bringing this?
No. Rabbeinu Tam is bringing the raya. The Rosh is challenging. He's challenging Rabbeinu Tam's raya.
Oh.
Okay. In any case, the Rosh raises two objections. The first objection, and Bechal, we show him these are the two issues that we have to deal with. One is, if you will, a technical issue, meaning that there may be a problem of making a bracha where there's no chiyuv to make that bracha, right? And presumably there's no chiyuv to do the mitzvah, there's no chiyuv to make the bracha. That's number one. Number two is a question of substance, that it doesn't make sense to say vitzivanu, right? It's simply not true. There's no tzivui to do this mitzvah. So how can you say vitzivanu? Okay? To the first one, the Rosh gives an answer that is not at all simple, which is, well, that Iser is only an Asmach, it's only a Drabana, it's not a Daraita. That's not a real drash of Lotisa and Shem Hashem Elkecha Hashem. So that Lotisa doesn't really refer to Bracha of Shana Tzricha. That doesn't really answer the question ostensibly, because it's Drabana. So it's an Iser Drabana, who cares? Still an Iser. Okay. But these are the two issues that we have to deal with, okay? Two issues. Vitzivan, number one, Bracha Shana Tzricha, Lo Tisa, number two, Vitzivan. Okay. Where does Rashi stand on this? So, there's an interesting question where Rashi stands on this. And there seems to be contradictory evidence. Everyone notice that? Can anyone see the contradictory evidence?
You only saw one Rashi.
You only saw one Rashi? Yeah. Right here in the first box. V'katav Rabbeinu Shlomo, first source. V'katav Rabbeinu Shlomo, Rav Ram Nahar, Rashalam Gemunah. V'katav Rabbeinu Shlomo, V'halacha Dinashim Asur Lehem Levarech, D'brach Levatalehi. Sure. Okay, so. Anyhow, the.
Oh, so then one of them is saying it's Asur.
Just from experience with Rav Ram Nahar, I guess. Okay, so. Okay, so anyhow, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Rashi says, "V'halacha dinashim asur lehem levarech debracha levatalahi sharei einan chayavot." Issue number one or issue number two?
Issue number one.
Okay. Meaning that Rashi thinks that this is a problem. Okay, it is a problem because. How can you say a bracha when you're not chayav to say the bracha tzlatisa, right? However, and I think I mentioned this before, but go very quickly, right? The Mishnah Megillah on the Chafalat Min Aleph. I don't think everyone was here. So, we'll go very quickly in any case. Chafalat Min Aleph. The Mishnah says Hakorei to Megillah Omid V'Yoshet Kra Echad Kra Karu Ashnayim Yatsu Makom Shenagul Varach Yivarach V'Shelol Varach Lo Yivarach. We discussed this Mishnah before, right? Okay. So, just to quickly review, Rashi says, Lo Yivarech, Ein Sarach Levarech. Okay. We saw the Gemara, why does Rashi say Lo Yivarech means Ein Sarach Levarech? Because the Gemara is a discussion of Mai Mevarech, right? Mai Mevarech, a whole discussion. Do you say this bracha, do you say this version or that version? How are you chotem? And the Gemara is a psak, and Hilkach Nimir Lutravayu. If we were to say, as in fact some Rishonim do say, but if we weren't to say like Rashi, that lo yivarach means ein sarach levarach, we say that it means if there's, you know, that where there's a minhag to say, you say. Where there's a minhag not to say, you don't say. If we were to say that, then it'd be a very strange Gemara. Very strange Gemara. What do you mean, my mevarach? My mevarach, whatever the minhag is. Of course, the whole basis is minhag. Elamai, you see that Chacham were clearly mitaken. The implication of the Gemara is that Chacham were mitaken a bracha of Haravid Yuvenu, but on an optional level, right? Without a chova, they weren't mechayev us to say we were mitaken the bracha. And therefore, we have a machlok: is the bracha this way? Is the bracha that way? Well, what's the bottom line? Mechulet. But they were mitaken a bracha. Then the question becomes: do you say it or not? So you don't have to. You can. Makom shenagu shelo yivarach. Lo yivarach means ein sarach levarach. Not that you can't, but that you don't have to. Right? Says, but if there's a minhag, then it raises it to a level of three. Okay. Nu, so what do you say about Rashi?
So, in one, he's saying that if you don't eat towards Asher, there's a shiva shav. And the other one, he's saying that,
you know, tzricha, but if you want to, you can. So, if we ask the question, according to Rashi, is it possible to have a situation where you are not obligated to make a certain bracha, but it's okay to do so? Rashi in Rosh Hashanah seems to say no. There's the fact that Rashi says that women can't say a bracha mitzvah say shemak bram is not a kasha. That's fine. You can say it based on Vitzivana, right? That's fine. But if you say it's because why? Sharei enan chayav, if it's because the bracha levatalahi, what do you mean? So that goes against what Rashi says in Megillah. Okay? Interesting question. Let's put it on the back burner and leave it as we proceed. But something to consider where Rashi stands on this. We seem to have contradictory evidence. Okay? Fair? Seder?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes? You certainly said it. I want to make sure your colleagues agree with you. Okay? Good. So,
I feel like it's different in the middle case.
Why is it different?
Because, like, the Chachamim were talking the Bracha.
Right?
But like with
But they weren't attacking that I have to say it.
Right.
according to Rashi. Right?
Right, no, I'm saying though that like.
So similarly, Chacham were mitaken the bracha of, you know, of I don't know, Anutila Ulav, right? You know, the bracha on Shofar, the bracha on Lul, whatever it is, and Shivat Sukkah. They weren't mitaking that you have to say it, but they were mitaking this bracha. It's not like you're getting up and saying, I'm going to compose a bracha on the fast, on the fact that it's a lovely day, right? I'm not talking about that. We're talking about saying a bracha that Chacham were mitaking, but that they didn't make mandatory. Right? Or to put the question in a little bit sharper form, is the thing that allows me to say a bracha the fact that I have a chiyuv to say so? Is that the only possible way for me to be permitted to say a bracha because I'm mechuyav to say that bracha? So Rashi in Rosh Hashanah seems to say yes, and Rashi in Megillah seems to say no, which seems to be a contradiction. Yes?
Can't we just say that if you have Nimrod, it brings up to the level of him?
Correct. But Rashi says that Makom Shalonagu, let's try again, Rashi, Makom Shanagu Shalolavarech. Lo yivarech just means ain't tzarech levarech. The implication means I can. Right? If I am in a place, so if in my community they don't have a minhag to say it, so I don't have a chiyuv too, but if I say it, it's fine. Okay? Beseder. Okay, that's number one.
Would you like
a... No, thank you. I'm fine. Okay, Seder? Okay? Okay. So I'd like to... Rashi will worry about the very end. Rashi will worry about the very end. But before we get to Rashi... Anyone have an answer to the Kasha on Rashi? In a sense, that's the easiest question of all the questions we're raising. Because the truth of the matter is it's simply a trick question. Simply a trick question. Okay, we'll leave that simmering on the back burner. We can leave that for the back. Yes?
Okay, could it be that, like, by women, there's absolutely, like, no chiyuv, but...
The answer is much simpler. Okay. I don't even know what you're going to say, but I can tell you the answer is much simpler. The answer is ridiculous.
Rabbi Yisrael
Shlomo
really is not Rashi.
Rabbi Yisrael Shlomo is Rashi, but you're on the right track. Anyhow. Okay.
They quoted him wrong.
You're on the right track. On the right track. Okay. Okay. Should I tell you, and then we'll move on?
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's very simple. Okay. No, she asked me an obvious question. An obvious question. Why don't I just give you Rashi on Rosh Hashanah? Why don't you Rav Avraham Ben-Ahar quoting Rashi? We're doing secondary sources. You know me better than that. Oh, we do. Yeah. I respect Rav Avraham Ben-Ahar. I'm not saying not primary source in terms of what he's saying, but in terms of Rashi, I'm quoting Rav Avraham Ben-Ahar. Give you a Rav Ram and a Har to pull it from the back of the shelf, you know, to give you a quote of Rashi on Rosh Hashanah. So, if you'd realize that Rabbi Shlomo was Rashi, you should have gone and and realized it's a contradiction. The obvious thing to do is to look in Rashi and Rosh Hashanah. If you look in Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, you'll find that in our Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't exist. Okay, this line doesn't exist. Now, I don't think for a moment that Rav Ram Ben-Ahar made it up. However, what I do think, and this is a theory, but this is what I think happened. There are certain Rishonim, primary amongst them, mentioned Rashi and the Rambam, who we know from them, we know that they revised their works throughout their lives. Okay, and they made changes and corrections, and there are things that they... I think that it's more than likely that Rav Ram Ben-Ahar, this is how I put it together. And again, this is as you can tell from the name, he was one of the Rishonim of Provence. Okay, the point is like this, that, you know, there are what we have from Rashi is not his first version. It's generally not his second. It's like, from what I'm saying, like his third, generally speaking. It depends on the Masechta and whatnot. It is entirely possible for, since he revised over the course of time, for there to be someone who, you know, copied, quoted, whatever, you know, an earlier version, and then that gets, you know, transmitted in a particular place or whatever to a particular person, and comes down to a particular person. It's not necessarily the same recension of it, and I think that's what we have here. You know, I think that Rashi, it seems to me the likelihood, I didn't research this extensively, but it seems to me that the likelihood is that Rashi basically revised what he said in Rosh Hashanah in light of what he came to believe in Megillah. And you know, because of this subtle diuk in Megillah, its conclusions in Megillah, therefore revised and therefore took this out. And I mean, there are certainly many other possible explanations, but I think that this makes a lot of sense and fits the facts rather well. In any case, we now move to the Rush. Okay, we now move to the Rush. So the Rush, we have two issues. Right, two issues. The first issue we're going to deal with is bracha she'ena tzricha. So we know that there are different shitot in Rishonim as to whether you could have such a thing as a bracha that is not a chiyuv. Okay, you have this Rashi Megillah, which says that it is possible. Rabbi Natan certainly thinks it's possible. That's it. And we have Rishonim who say no. It's a bracha she'ena tzricha. The Rush says that the answer to this question rests on the fact that lotisa is an asmachta. What does that mean? So I'd like to suggest the following, and I think that this is, as I alluded to earlier, an important point, not just in terms of this particular point, but methodologically beyond the borders of this particular topic. Sometimes you have, and I can give you other examples of this, where Rishonim will say, that this is, you know, as opposed to what so-and-so says, or opposed to what you might think, that halacha X is d'oraita, it's really d'rabbanan, or vice versa. Doesn't matter in which direction. I mean, it matters locally, but globally it doesn't matter. It's not d'oraita, it's d'rabbanan, or vice versa. But the point that they're making is not that therefore it's more chamor or more kal, okay, which is true, but that's not the point, but rather that the way that you would define and understand this particular halacha, if its derivation were d'oraita versus d'rabbanan, or the other way around, right, is going to be different. Not per se because it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan, but because it's going to give a different context. So let me explain what I mean here, and you'll understand from there what I'm talking about. Okay? Meaning, the point here is not whether we're dealing with an Isur D'oraita or an Isur D'rabbanan. It wouldn't make any difference. If it's Asur, it's Asur. Right? We're not talking about a case of Safek or a case of going up against a different... We're talking about, is it Asur or is it Mutter? Okay? But what the Rosh is saying is as follows. There are two ways of understanding what the Gemara says when the Gemara says that if you make a bracha she'ena tzricha, it's lo tisa. The two ways of understanding. One is to understand that that's a real drasha. Okay? If it's a real drasha, we would understand the issue one way. If it's not a real drasha, we would understand the issue differently. Not because of the chomer ha'iser, but because we're talking about a different type of issue. Let me explain what I mean. So the first way we can understand is like this. We could say that bracha she'ena tzricha, if I make a bracha that's not necessary, I'm over on lotisa. If I were to say that, then what is the pshad in lotisa? What does it mean, lotisa shem eshal kechal hashav? Right? So then I would be understanding lotisa to mean that I can't use Hashem's name unless I am somehow fulfilling a halachic obligation. I can't just stam use Hashem's name. It has to be, there has to be a halachic context, it has to be that it's for a purpose, it has to be that I'm being yotzei some kind of a chiyuv, or, you know, accomplishing something. If I learn like that, then bracha shen tzricha is an example of lotisa. I say a bracha, and I wasn't obligated to say that bracha, so I'm saying Hashem's name without there being a chiyuv to do so. That's not okay. That's going to be lotisa. Beseder? That's it. But there's another way I can understand lotisa Hashem Hashem HaKach Lashah. Maybe it means don't use Hashem's name in an inappropriate, frivolous way. Doesn't mean that it has to be in order to fulfill a chiyuv. It means as opposed to, you know, just stam. Just in, you know, without it being an appropriate way. So meaning.
Well, why would you think that this was just a rabbi, not
a prophet? Well, give me a moment to finish explaining, and I think it'll become clear. So, for example, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchot Shvuot, right, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says that v'lo shvua l'shah bilvad hu shasura elafilu askir shem min hashemot miyuchadim lebatala asura v'achbi shalom nishma shariah katub mitzaveh v'omer liyirat Hashem v'nechvad v'nra uv'chval yiratot shal yaskiro lebatala l'fichach im ta'a halashon v'otzi shem lebatala yimaher miyad v'yishabeach v'fa'er v'yader lo k'dei shal yizacher lebatala ketzad. Amar Hashem, let's say you said Hashem's name. So you should say right afterwards, Omer, you should say right afterwards, Baruch Hu L'Olam Va'ed. Oh, or you should say, Gadol Hu L'Olam Va'od, V'Kiyotzi B'Zeh, K'dei Shul Yehe L'Vatala. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does the Rambam mean to say that that would be fine if you did that? Certainly not, right? The Rambam is saying that there are two tiers. Okay, I think the Rambam believes that both are d'oraita. That's a different discussion. I think that he holds that both are d'oraita. If you look at in Hilchot Brachot, right, that Kol Mevarach Bracha She'ena Tzricha Harezeh Nosei Shem Shema Moshav Harei Kinishba Lashav, etc. Both are d'oraita, but they're not equally bad. Okay, that's within the Rambam, meaning that if a person says Hashem's name, there's no need to, there's no mechayev, let's say, there's no halachic obligation. So that's aser. But it's far worse if it's some, you know, wantonly, if it's in an inappropriate kind. So we said, the person accidentally said Hashem's name. So they should say afterwards, Baruch Hu Baruch, or, you know, whatever, something to turn it into a kind of a shemach, so that at least it's not a want. Right, so within the Rambam, even though both I think are an Isur D'oraita point to the Rambam, but they're different, there's certainly different levels. The Rush, I think, says that not just that they're different levels within the D'oraita, but that actually the D'oraita only refers to the worst of those two, okay? And that's what Lotisa means. Using it in an inappropriate, wanton way, in a, you know, a light way, in a, you know, without it's therefore, still don't get the point, you'll see. I'm sorry, I know it's a long round sense, but bear with me. Therefore, what the Rush is saying is like this. If I were to say a bracha she'ina tzricha, okay, it's a bracha she'ina tzricha, right? So let's say, for example, you know, I said a shahakol on my coffee with the intention that I'm going to then have I'm saying the bracha on, you know, oil. And then I forget and I say a second shahakol. Okay, that's not the same as just using God's name stamas, right, for no reason whatsoever. Right, it's not clearly not the same thing. But it's a bracha shen tzricha. Right? And it's not okay, whatever. But the Rambam would certainly say, right, that that's also d'oraita, but it's a lower level. It's not as bad. The Rush, I think, would say that that's not lotis at all. It's not lotis at all. Why? Because what I'm saying is a meaningful, serious statement of praise about God. It's just that I'm a chiyuv to say it at this point. Right? Therefore, on a d'oraita, so the point is that bracha she'ena tzricha is really mutter. So what does the Gemara mean that it's you're over on lotisa? Says the Rash, that's an asmachta. doesn't mean it's an asmachta. It doesn't mean it's the same thing but the Rabbanan. He means that when Chachamim said that bracha she'ina tzricha, you're over on lo tisa, they're saying not that it's a drabanan of that really, but they're saying that there is that Chacham decide when you can and can't make a bracha, and you can't just decide on your own that you're going to make a bracha whenever you feel like it. Even if you're saying Shem Bacham Hashem, you can't just make a... In other words, there's a halacha drabanan not to say a bracha unless you have permission to do so. Now, if a person says a bracha she'ena tzricha, right? If a person says a bracha that's totally... there's no reason to say... So there's no difference between the first approach and the second approach, except for the coin to one star, right? The coin to the other star, Rabbana, right? But it's the same, it's Asr Bokeh. The difference is like this. If I understand Lo Tisa to mean don't use Hashem's name unless I'm using it to discharge a chiyuv, could there be such a thing as a bracha that exists on the level of Rishut? No, it doesn't make sense. You can't, because it would be lo tisa, right? So in other words, the idea that you could have a bracha of haravet rivenu, which exists on a neutral plane, right, of being an option, but you don't have to, but if you feel like it, you say it. Or the idea that someone who's not obligated in shofar can make a bracha on it, because they're doing the mitzvah, but they're not obligated to, that wouldn't make sense. There couldn't be such a thing. But if you say that lo tisa means don't use God's name wantonly, and that the issue of bracha she'ena tzricha is an isur drabanan, it's a different type of isur drabanan. It means that when Chacham say when Chacham don't give you license to say it, don't say a bracha, that's the drabanan. Then could you have such a thing as a bracha that's a neutral bracha, that's a rishut? Certainly you could, right? It's not just a question of whether you're talking about a Doraita versus Rabbanim, but you're talking about the halacha bracha and she'ena tzricha will be understood fundamentally differently depending on whether you learn it one way or the other. You want to see what I'm saying? Okay? We have other cases in Mishnah where we have similar things where they talk about the right versus Rabbanan, but they're not talking about how chamor it is, but they're talking about where it's, they're talking about where this halacha comes from. Is it an extension of A or an extension of B? Is it this type of halacha, that, you see what I'm saying? So we have to be, that's something to be sensitive to in reading Mishnah and in Purim. Just Rishonim, but it's only Rishonim, and that's what I think the Rashi is saying. So the Rashi is saying that Lotisa doesn't mean Lotisa, the Doraita Lotisa is not such that it would mean that Bracha Shana Tzricha is a Doraita. Therefore, what does Lotisa mean? Don't use God's name wantonly. Okay, but for a woman who's doing the mitzvah to say the bracha, that's not using it wantonly. And there's even not an Issur Drabanan. Issur Drabanan is just when I'm making a bracha for no reason. Here there's a very good reason to make the bracha. It's just that it's not a chiyuv. There's no chiyuv, but there is a good reason. It's not the same thing. So therefore, this is not included in the Doraita. It's not included in the Drabanan. It's mutter. It's mutter. It's a good thing. Yes?
No.
Say it? Okay. Okay, so we understand the first point in the Rashi a little better? Good. Let's proceed then to the second. The Rashba in Rosh Hashanah, explains the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam a little bit, but the explanation requires a little bit. And we're going to see where he's coming from, what it really means over the next few minutes.
It says,
second point. They're still doing the mitzvah. It says that the Torah doesn't obligate them. Ela di'i bo avdei. If they want, they can do it. Therefore, vitzivanu karina bu. Therefore, it's appropriate to say vitzivanu. Okay, I'm translating a little loosely, but that's the basic thrust of it. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? So in order to really understand the Rashba, one has to go to the Ravid. Okay?
What did the Rashba say?
So, over here, the Rashba, Rosh Hashanah, Gimel says, V'chein iskimu shemutar l'nashim kol mitzvasei, she's my ground, like Rabbi Tam. Why? They're involved in doing a mitzvah. It's just that they're not obligated. But they want to do it. Therefore, we do apply b'tzivanu to them. Now, the question is what that means. So if we look at the Ravid says something fascinating. Now, the Ravid here is a little bit complicated. But we're going to try to see like the essence of what the Ravid says. I apologize for the typos. Not have this in the database. I typed it, and I also typed it many years ago when I was even worse of a typist than I am now. So much less experience. So forgive me. I haven't proofread it since. The Ravid says as follows. Fascinating Ravid. Okay. But for those who don't know, the Ravid was one of the greatest of the Rishonim. Truly a really, really an incredible Rishonim. There's so much to say, but Ravid was really in common experience. So, you know, we know the Ravid from, you open up the Rambam and the Ravid's in the little print, okay? But we should be aware that the Ravid was one of the great Rishonim. So many things that we have in major Rishonim, like the Ramban and Rashbar, etc., had their origins in the Ravid. Okay, many of them could be Rishonim in the Ravid. The Ravid was considered, you know, really one of the greatest of the Rishonim. When there was the great debate over the Rambam Svarim, right? People were, you know, the Maimonidean controversy is called. So one of the riyas that people who defended the Rambam brought to defend the Rambam is that you see the greatness of the Rambam, how the Ravid bothered to write Hasagot on it. Okay, I'm serious. This was one of the big, you know, and then, you know, gives you an indication of, you know, in any case, the Ravid wrote many things besides the Hasagot. This was at the very end of his life. You know, when the Mishnah Torah was at the end of the Ravid's life, and he went through it really quickly at the end of his life, and wrote Hasagot. That was not the major work of the Ravid. The Ravid wrote many, many important things before that, including amongst them is his parish on the Sifra, on the Midrash Tanam, on Vayikra. Okay, which includes many, many important, fascinating things. And here, the Ravid writes as follows. He refers to the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah Lama Gimel, which some of these Rishonim that we saw are referring to or commenting on. And the Ravid says as follows. Ikamanta Amar. There's a Machloket Tanaim, right? Machloket Tanaim, but whether Nashim Samchot Rishut. Okay, there's a whole Sugya there. And there we're talking about whether in a case where there is a conflicting downside to doing an optional mitzvah, whether women can do it. Because there's an Easter involved and there's also a mitzvah, but the women are not obligated in the mitzvah. The question is, how we deal with that? Okay, so a whole sugya. I'm oversimplifying, but that's the basic idea. Machloket Tanan. Okay, Machloket Tanan. Yes or no? Says the Ravid. Now there are two different dimensions to what the Ravid does here. Very important to differentiate between the two, otherwise we're not going to appreciate it. There are two issues, and this is important to keep in mind in Rishon. One issue is Parshanut, and one issue is Psak. Okay? There's a question of how do you understand each of the two shitot. There's a second question of which shita do you accept lahalacha. Those are two separate issues. Okay. Yes. One issue is, right, we have a machloket tanan, shita A and shita B. So one question is, how do you understand what each of them says? There's a second question, if you will, a secondary question, do we pass them like A or like B? Okay. Now, what we're important to differentiate between the two. So, it happens to be that the Ravid accepts the Shita that that says asr. Okay, he passes the chumra. Okay, that ein ashim samchal rishut. But he gives an explanation of what the shita of samchal rishut means. That's very fascinating. It says like this. And Sri Diesh, one of his shuot, has a explanation along these lines. In any case, this is what the rabbi says. Ikaman de amar shekach nitna b'torah l'anashim b'choval nashim rishut. V'anashim dumiyat anashim l'chom b'tzaseh z'man grama. Af al pi sheyesh ba isur torah kigon tzitzit shel tchelet l'anashim. Mikol kom ein halach k'Rabbi Yosi. That's a shita Rabbi Yosi. We're not passing that way. Hilchos lomi by its chelah betzitzit lo shemina lahud isura doraita el afilu birchat lula lo shemina. Mikol makom remes advar nimigaleh ki asumla Rabbi Yehuda apishu patur min amitzav midvar tor mikol makom chivu chivuhu rather midrabanan delo gara mikatan shaligia lechinoch. Or Shikia Lechinuch rather, Hilchos Rabbi Yehuda Oseh Kol Mitzvah Mevarach Aleihem. In other words, this is the dichoy of the. This is really where the Rosh gets it from. This idea that well, but Asuma has a chiyuv min mitrabanan, and that's why he makes the bracha. Says the Ravid. Want to hear what the Ravid says? The Ravid says an incredible pshat. It says like this. I'm going to paraphrase the Ravid, but this is the key. The Ravid says like this. What does it mean that women are not obligated mitzaseh shasman grama? He says that according to Rabbi Yossi, the pshat is not that. Let me give an example. Okay, let's say the mitzvah, the isur of being mitame lemet. Okay, so isur mitame lemet is said to kohanim and not to Israelim, right? That mitzvah is not said to us. Not said to us. Fine. So that means that mitzvah was not. It's not a mitzvah that was said to me. There's a mitzvah that's said only to a kohen gadol. Mitzvah said to only kohanim. The mitzvah said only in this circumstance, that circumstance. Says the Rabbi, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's not the pshat in mitzvah seishes magrama, but rather what, that the mitzvah is said to women, but together with the tzivoy, there's also a patur, meaning like one of these get out of jail free cards, right? That those meaning that there's a rishut to opt out, but if you choose to do it, so then it's the same mitzvah, and the mitzvah is said to women. So what is the implication of that? Says the Rav an incredible chiddush. He says like this, that for what. Much bigger fetish than that. We'll get to that. But he says more than that. He says that it means that, let's say, if a person is wearing tzitzit, it's wearing a beggar with tzitzit, and it's tzitzit that's makayim the full chi of darait. Meaning you have vadai tchelet, not about bismahazem, maybe you have tchelet, maybe we don't have tchelet, but you have vadai in the time of, you have vadai tchelet, and you're makayim the mitzvah fully, so There's a heter. You can wear. There are limitations. There are all kinds of details. But kikaron, a person who's wearing tzitzit with the full kiyum daraita. So it's the smichat aparsha, right? Gvilim taselach, and between that and shatnez, it's dochel mitzvah or it's there's no iser of shatnez in that case. Okay, no iser of shatnez. Okay, you can have the beged of pishtan and the tzitziot of tzemer, the chel of tzemer, and it's hetergam. So says the Ravid, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, the mitzvah of tzitzit with all of its details, including the heter to wear shatnez in that circumstance, right? That's where shatnez university had to wear shatnez for that garment. He said to women, the same as men, but a man doesn't have a choice about it. A woman has a choice about it. That's what means mitzvah as man growing national tour. Therefore, says the Rav, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, a woman could wear a tzitzit that are shatnez. Okay? The same. Now, needless to say, absolutely correct, that it also follows that if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, you can say, because the mitzvah is said to women. It said with the option of not doing it, but it said, but there is absolute tzivanut. And that's what the Rashba means. If we go back to Rashba, we'll see exactly what it means. The Rashba says the same thing as the Ravid, except that the Rashba doesn't pass like Rabbi Yossi. Okay? In other words, Kikaroni, he's working with the same pshat, the same perush as the Ravid, right? But he passes like the other Shita. Okay? Considerations who you pass them. Anyhow, Rashba says, "V'chein hiskimu shemutar l'nashim." Going back for a moment, "Livarech al komitz asei shazman grama." Why? "Vavpi she'en alehem el rishud to mikom akom b'mitzvah ka'aske." Right? It is a mitzvah for them. Just that v'chiyuvahu deluchay binu rachman al mebikanash el deibo avdei. But if they choose to do it, then b'tzivano kareim them. Then the mitzvah is said to them. So you can say Mitzivan. If you look at Tosan Erevin, if you look at Tosan Erevin, this is a little piece of a monster Tosva. It's like there are two issues. One issue is how do you interpret the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and the other is which sheet did you pass blank. Okay, the Ravid gives us a certain interpretation. Interpretation that what is under issue in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah is: do we say that these mitzvah women are not said to women? Okay, just like mitzvah kuna are not said to kohanim. Is that what it's like, or is it no that it's said to women with all of the And that's reflected in the fact that includes the heterim as well as the chiyum. But there is an option to say, no, I'm going to decline to do this particular mitzvah. But that's what it means that mitzvah says to my grandma, Nashim Baturah. Baturah doesn't mean that the mitzvah is not said to them. So therefore, it's said to them, even if it involves a different Easter. Okay, because of the fact that all that mitzvah is said to women. It's just that they have the option of choosing not to do it. Therefore, the Rashba, right, the Rashba says that's called Vitzivanu. If you're doing it, so then you can say Vitzivanu. In terms of the second issue of the Rash. Now, Tosot and Erevin, again, this is a huge Tosot, but this is the relevant part. Okay, etc. And I just want to give you the key line. Because why? It says, "Afal gav de Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda plige ale kid amar b'samoch kai malan Rabbi Yosi l'gavi travayu." Okay. In other words, what does Tosfot say? Why does Rabbeinu Tam say women can make Birchan HaMitzvah? Because Rabbeinu Tam is accepting the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, not the Shita of Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yud. Now, if you put this Tosfot together with the Ravid, what do you get?
Wait, what is
this? Come on. Come on, you're used to these games by now. Let's try it again. If I take Tosfot in Erevin plus the Ravid on the Sifra, yes?
Then you get that woman.
Then you get?
No, I do. The Rashba.
Thank you. Okay. You have to hold your off from that. Come on. Okay. Everyone see that? Yes? Okay, Tos and Erevin deals with the issue of Pesach. They pass like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, the Ravid and Sifra in terms of the issue of the perush of that machloket. When you put the two together, you reach the conclusion of the Rashba in explaining Rabbi Yossi. Okay, that's the question. Put the two together, and now we understand the fascinating Ravid. Now we understand the fascinating Ravid with which. What?
He did.
Correct. Because there are two different issues. One issue is interpretation, and the other issue is Pesach. The Ravid agrees that according to Rabbi Yossi, women can make.
But he just doesn't pass.
He doesn't pass like Rabbi Yossi. The Rashba
Haskin said, well,
takes the pshat of the Ravid, so to speak, whether he got it from him or not, very possibly did, but directly or indirectly. But be that as it may, he takes the interpretation, he understands Machal like the Ravid, but he paskins like Rabbi Yossi. You need both in order to... In other words, for the Ravid, it's a theoretical possibility. Right? The Ravid's a theoretical possibility. For the Rashba, it's a real possibility. Right? But what we have in the Tosfot Erev, you see, the point is, what I wanted to show you is that this is not a speculation that Rabbeinu Tam is based on Pasuk like Rabbi Yossi. That's what Tosfot says Beferish. Okay? We have this from the Baalei Tosfot directly. And therefore, you know, for me to say that it's based on, you know, Rabbi Yossi, but of course understanding Rabbi Yossi in a particular way, and we have that way of understanding, it's found in the Ravid, put them together. So I want to show you a fascinating nuance in the Ravid. The Ravid, when you look at it without any of what we've seen, it seems a little bit choppy. It seems to be like I went back and forth and I just, whatever. But if you look at it from the perspective of what we've seen, it's really rather beautiful. The Rambam holds that women cannot make a Birchon HaMitzvah on a mitzvah that they're not obligated. Okay? And that's the basis for the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch, and the, to the best of my knowledge, the generally accepted approach amongst those father sheet of the Sfar, you know, that's says the Rambam, right? Says the Rambam, Vinash, the second line, Vinash, Mavadim, Shiratzulit, Ate, Bitsitzit, Mitatvim, below Bracha. V'chein shar mitzvah say shanashim b'turot mehen. Imratzula sodotan below bracha. Imam chumiyada. Want to do without a bracha? Fine, but you can't say a bracha. Okay, says the Ravid, davka b'tzitzit she'em ba'kilayim. Okay? Says the Ravid. The Rambam says it's okay for women to wear the tzitzit without a bracha. Says the Ravid, but that's only without, if it's not shatnez. V'yeshechilek, let's provide a name. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, V'yeshechilek means Rabbeinu Tam.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Didn't we have he said that? Like, why is he saying yes?
The Rambam, there are many Rishonim don't hold that way. I'm not saying the Rambam is not obligated to agree with the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan. I mean, erchinam.
So conservative people don't be like, we wear tzitzis because we hold on to
I will say that I don't know. There's certainly, as I say, this is one of the things which there is much, from a strictly halachic, point of view, is less problematic than many other things. That's not the biggest problem. But anyway, there's certainly sources in Rishon for that, in any case, so the point is as follows, that Nashima, so says the Ravid, number one, below Shatnez. Then he continues. V'yesh shechilek v'omer af bebracha. Rabbi Tam says you can't make a bracha. V'omer shegam habracha rishut u'mevi sa'ad l'dvaram perakam de kedushin midrav Yosef da'amar resh havamina ma da'amar li halacha kreb Yehuda da'amar suma patrim min ha-mitzvot avina yom ha-tavla rabbanan. V'lo mivkad v'avidna v'mita demand v'lo mechayev v'lo chazi lebruchei, says Rabbi Tam. If you'll say that a person is not mechayev, not mechuyav, can't say a bracha, and kain yisur ka'avid you bebracha ka'avid v'hu di below bracha mayom atavika akan l'shom. Okay, this is what the Ravid says. So where's the Ravid? Let's smash it out first. Says the Ravid, we start with the Rambam says that below bracha,
Along comes the Raya, and he says, number one, the low Shabbos, right, which is a qualification of the Rambam, and then makes point number two, and he says, Yesh mi shechilei, and he goes on to say, what does that mean? Okay, so I take this as two, you know, loosely related points that the Rambam says below bracha, right? Then the Rambam agrees with that, but he qualifies it, and then he adds on the fact that parenthetically there is a shita that disagrees with what the Rambam says. Okay, let me say it. I just want to show you that according to what we've seen, the Rabbi reads even more beautifully. I'm not saying this is a problem, but look how beautifully the Rabbi really reads. Because if you understand, if you put it together with the other Rabbi in the Sifra, right, look what he's saying. He's saying like this. It's mutter to do without a problem. Okay? Says the Rabbi. What does that mean? That means that you're holding.
That it wasn't said to them also.
Exactly. Right? Like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yosef. Right? That, and therefore, says the Ravid, it follows that if you're saying below bracha, and I agree with the Rambam, says the Ravid, that means without shatnez. Right? The Yeshmi Shechilek is not going all the way back to the. It's not just going back to the Rambam's below bracha, and it's a separate comment on it. No, this is going on the entire thing and saying that on the one hand we have the approach of the Rambam, which the Rambam endorses, which is that A, below bracha, and B, without shatnez. In a word, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. But be aware, says the Rambam, I don't agree with him, but there is also the shita of Rabbeinu Tam that mutter levarech, and by implication,
that you
catch on your shopping. Okay. And that therefore, this bringing Rabbeinu Tam about the bracha is not going back to this exclusively, it's not going back to the Rambam's comment exclusively, it's a continuation of what the Rabbi was talking about a moment ago, right? And he's saying that on the one hand, they have the shita that I agree with, which is the Rambam shita, that no bracha, no shatnez. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, that's how I paskin, like the Rambam. However, be aware, Rabbi Tam goes in a different direction. Rabbi Tam's direction is going to not only disagree with this point, that below bracha, the Rambam says, also disagree with below shatnez, and I think the Rambam reads so beautifully, if we put it in the kind of, I mean, you know, Minei Ubei, we're talking about within the Rambam. The Ravid in another sefer of his, Katuv Sham, which is a which can be found basically in the bottom of the Rif. It's also printed a separate sefer, more extensive. In any case, the Ein Ha'isha Rishal Levarech Alulav. Get agreement with the sheet of the Ram that can't make brach. Lefish Ein Abota Mitzvah Lo Min HaTorah Velo Min HaRabbanan. Right, and it's, I think, a very clear articulation of the non-Rabbi Yossi. You know, here he gives us the non-Rabbi Yossi position from his point of view, which is the position that he accepts, and I think fits very well with everything else he
says.
That's the Ravid. So the point is that we have therefore these two issues. It's possible for Veresh Rishonim to accept that one or the other is a problem, or both, right? Meaning the bracha levatala, the bracha netzirchum issue, I should say, and or the vitzivanu issue, right? The Rabbeinu Tam and the many Rishonim who follow in the footsteps of Rabbeinu Tam here, and there are many, many Rishonim who follow in the footsteps of Rabbeinu Tam here, they maintain that neither is a problem, and I think that this means not only that they have a different perspective on bracha she'ena tzricha, which is important
and significant beyond the realm of this, right? The scope of this issue, which is important in itself. I'm saying, but it's broader than that. It's a much broader issue of that is going to affect things like the sugya Megillah, the Chaf Aleph, etc. We are in a totally different realm. I'm talking about, you know, whether Harabit Rivenu is there exists this neutral situation or not. That's number one. Number two, that it means taking Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi as understood by the Ravid and the Rashba, etc. That gives us, I think, a very different perspective on what it means that there's a p'tur by Mitzvah Seshas Man Grama. Again, there are others who there are more contemporary or close contemporary Achronim who explain the issue of Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama in this general direction as well, amongst them the Sri Dei Eish and the Rav Zatzal, but in any case, the real source for this approach, I think, is the Ravid. Again, you know, to minimize the points of the Sri Dei Eish and the Rav, but I'm saying we have this already spelled out, I think, rather clearly in Rishonim, the Ravid and the Rashba, etc. It's the implication. I believe Rabbeinu Tam, I think without this understanding, Rabbeinu Tam's, we can't really understand Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, by implication, what the Ravid says, although he doesn't pass that way, but the Ravid's pshat in Rabbi Yossi is being accepted by implication by Rabbeinu Tam and by the many Rishonim who I would say Rov Rishonim, as far as I've seen, who take this approach of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, there's, of course, also those Rishonim who do not either do not interpret Rabbi Yossi this way or do not pass like Rabbi Yossi, but again, I think that this is a prevalent view in Rishonim and in terms of how to understand this issue. Okay? Yeah.